Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you, we praise you for your word and for the way in which your word speaks to our hearts and to our minds. Heavenly Father, we pray that you open our hearts and minds now through the power of your Holy Spirit, that we might hear what it is you have to say to us, and that we may go forth from here eager to serve you. For we ask and we pray these things through Jesus' precious name. Amen. Scripture reading this morning is from Deuteronomy. Actually, I'm going to start at verse 1 and read through verse 7. Please stand in honor of God's word. Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the ordinances that the Lord your God charged me to teach you to observe in the land that you are about to cross into and occupy, so that you and your children and your children's children may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life and keep all his decrees and his commandments that I am commanding you, so that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe them diligently, so that it may go well with you, and so that you may multiply greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord your God, the God of your ancestors, has promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Someone has written a comparison of dads in 1900 compared to fathers of today. In 1900, fathers prayed their children would learn English. Today, fathers pray their children will speak English. In 1900, if a father put a roof over his family's head, he was a success. Today, it takes a roof, a deck, pool, and four-car garage, and that's just the vacation home. In 1900, a father waited for the doctor to tell him when the baby arrived. Today, a father must wear a smock, know how to breathe, and make sure he is recording the event. In 1900, fathers shook their children gently and whispered, "Wake up. It's time for school." Today, kids shake their fathers violently at 4 a.m. shouting, "Wake up, it's time for hockey practice." In 1900, a father came home from work to find his wife and children at the supper table. Today, a father comes home to a note: "Jimmy's at baseball, Cindy's at gymnastics, I'm at the gym, pizza in the fridge." There's a lot of truth in those statements, isn't there? It's a stark contrast to dads from 1900 to today. But there are some timeless truths that we can find in God's word. And in this book of Deuteronomy that we read these passages today, we can see some guidelines for dads today. The passage deals with the Exodus account of the Israelites. Moses exhorts the Israelites to obey the commands of the Lord and says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus also said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." And the passage today tells us that these commandments are to be impressed upon children, in other words, taught to children. Christian dads, you are to love the Lord your God completely and fully, remembering the great love of God in that he sent his own son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins in his body on the cross. Dads, do you really love the Lord your God with unreserved devotion? Is the love you have for Jesus so deep and so strong that it affects every area of your life? Are you willing to humble yourself before the Lord? John Ashcroft, a former U.S. Attorney General, tells a story of the night before he was to become a senator. The family gathered together to pray and to anoint John. They got down on their knees as they came before the Lord, and John's father, who was elderly and was quite ill, was having a hard time getting off the couch. They told him, "You don't need to get up to stand." And the dad said, "I'm not getting up to stand, but to get down on my knees." And John remarks how his dad was so frail, but he humbled himself before the Lord in that simple act of faithfulness. The scripture tells us, first and foremost, the love of God must be present in one's heart. Then it is to be passed on to children. So how do you pass the love of God onto your children? This scripture tells us that it is to be a continual way of life. Talk about it when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hand and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. It is not only to be taught verbally, but to be modeled. A pastor visited a children's Bible class, and he looked into the serious faces of the children and asked, "Why do you love God?" And after a moment, a small voice from the back came and said, "I guess it just runs in the family." Dads, wouldn't that be the greatest words your son or daughter could say about you? As we look at this scripture today, there are some suggestions that we can see written in these pages. First of all, to take time. Sit with your children and tell them how much Jesus loves them. Sit with them. Look them in the eye. Spend time with them and tell them how much Jesus Christ loves them. Secondly, look for those God-given teachable moments. Douglas Sword told the story. He said, "I was giving my four-year-old Bath a son, or my son. I was giving my four-year-old son a bath. I was trying to hurry because Monday night football would be on soon." And his son began telling him that Christmas was coming, and that we needed to have a birthday party for Jesus. We talked a little more, and then he asked, "What does it mean to have Jesus in your heart?" On the outside, I was calm, but inwardly, my heart was doing flips. I explained that sometimes we do bad things, and that God sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross to pay the penalty for when we disobey. We need to ask God to forgive us and for Jesus to come into our heart to help us to obey God. He said, "Can I pray and ask Jesus to come into my heart?" And Douglas Sword said, "It was the greatest pleasure a father can have. I do not remember who won the football game, but I do remember leading my son to Christ that night." The third thing in regards of taking time with our children, not only to sit and to tell your children how much Jesus loves them, but also to watch for those teachable moments. But thirdly, to worship with your children. One startling bit of research conducted by the Christian Men's Committee found the following information. When the father is an active believer, there is about a 75% likelihood that his children will also become active believers. But if only the mother is the believer, this likelihood is dramatically reduced to 15%. That's a startling fact. And oftentimes we see moms bringing the kids to church and dads are nowhere to be found. They drop them off at the church, but when a father is sitting in church with his children, he makes a dramatic impact upon their spiritual life. So dads, I encourage you, be in church with your children. And whether your children are grown or not, still be in church. Be in church with your grandchildren, with your adult children. You make an incredible impact upon the lives of your children. In verses 8 through 9 here, the scripture tells us, tie them as symbols on your hand and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. It was the custom of Orthodox Jewish men to copy four sections from the law and put these passages in leather cases on straps and bind them to their left arms and on their foreheads during morning prayers. They also put certain scripture passages in a metal or glass case and affixed it to the right-hand doorpost of every entrance into their homes. It was a sign of what they believed. Now, Jesus confronted the Pharisees, and not because they were called phylacteries, but Jesus was upset with the Pharisees because their display was more important to them than the condition of their hearts. And so if we put it in perspective for a modern dad today, dads, if you say you are a Christian, is the condition of your heart such that people don't say, well, he says he's a Christian, but he sure doesn't act like it? Because that is what Jesus confronted. There's a big difference between saying, I'm a Christian man, I go to the Plain City Presbyterian Church, and then you go out of here, and Monday through Saturday, you don't act anything like a Christian man. And people in the community know that. And so that's what Jesus was confronting. And so the other thing that we can see from this passage is to model the Christian life. Model Christ-like behavior to your children, no matter how young or old your child may be. And although I'm focusing on fathers, these things can apply to any of us in teaching children, because a lot of times we have children in the church that come to the church that may not have a father, or their father may be distant, but the church has a responsibility for all the children that come through these doors. And so we're all called to model Christ-like behavior to children. And there's a story by Jack and Jerry Schroer. One image, he says, of my father sticks with me from my youth. I was only about 9 years old when Dad took me to downtown Chicago to the Pacific Garden Mission. I had never been to a mission before, and I was scared to death. The place was filled with smelly, filthy, loud men, people I had never been in contact with before. In my sanitized world, there were good people. They had jobs, took baths, got married, and went to church. And then there were bad people. They lived on the street, drank alcohol, smoked cigarettes, didn't have jobs, and never went to church. Such is the mind of a 9-year-old. These men were so bad, according to my calculations, that they were off the scale. I don't remember much of what happened that evening. I just have an image of my dad with his arm around a lice-infested man who reeked of alcohol and garbage, telling him that Jesus loved him. My sanitized version of the world was knocked completely out of whack. There was my clean-cut pastor father touching a bad man. I learned a lot about Jesus that night. I learned a lot about the gospel. I learned a lot about forgiveness. And I learned a lot about my Father. The goal of teaching the love of the Lord and his commands to children is to produce God-loving, Christ-filled character, Christ-filled character in children. That's the goal. There was a family in the San Francisco Bay Area that grew up with tremendous commitment. The son's name was David Kraft. His father was a pastor, a godly pastor in the South Bay. And David Kraft grew up with a father who constantly remembered God's faithfulness in the past so that David might trust in God in all of his tomorrows. David grew up in love with Jesus, and he felt the call of God into the pastoral ministry and went on to seminary. David was a big, athletic young man. At the age of 32, he was 6'2" tall and weighed 200 pounds. He worked with a fellowship of Christian athletes. That dear young man was diagnosed as having cancer. It racked his body. And over a period of time, he dropped from 200 pounds to 80 pounds. When he was about ready to pass from this life into eternity, he asked his father to come into his hospital room. Lying there in the bed, he looked up and said, "Dad, do you remember when I was a little boy, how you used to just hold me in your arms close to your chest?" David's father nodded. Then David said, "Do you think, Dad, you could do that one more time? One last time?" Again, his father nodded. He bent down to pick up his 32-year-old, 6'2", 80-pound son and held him close to his chest so that the son's face was right next to his father's face. They were eyeball to eyeball. Tears were streaming down both faces. The son said simply to the father, "Thank you for building the kind of character into my life that can enable me to face even a moment like this." That's the kind of character that our Lord commands dads to build into children's lives, that no matter what they may face in life, they have the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's something for all of us to remember when we see children in the church, no matter if they have a father here or they don't have a father here. You know, men, come to bat. Be a dad to a kid that doesn't have a dad or a dad that's not here. Show them what the love is of Christ. And build in children Christ-like character that can help them face anything in life. And if you had a father that built that kind of character in you, thank God for that father today. And if you didn't, be that kind of a man to someone's child. Because we have a lot of hurting kids in the world today. And we may have them in our neighborhood, wherever. Be a Christ-filled individual and show kids where they can find strength and hope and eternal love. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you, we praise you for these wonderful words of Scripture of how children need to hear, need to see modeled in the lives of not only dads, but all of us. Lord, help Christian dads to not only say they are a Christian, but help them to act like a Christian every single day of their lives. Help them to spend time with their children, being able to tell their children how much they love them and how much Jesus loves them. Help them to look for those moments that they can teach And help them, Lord, to worship with their children, whether they're small children, teenage children, or adult children. And help them to model what Christ-like behavior is. We thank you and we praise you for your word, Lord. We can look at what dads were like in 1900s and what dads are like today, but we know your word is timeless. Your word speaks to generation after generation after generation, and we thank you and praise you for these wise words of Scripture. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray and ask all things.